In late February this year, Viona Wamuyu made a post on TikTok.
It is mentally draining.
The post went viral, and in that video, Viona goes on to express her frustration as being the primary caregiver to her mother, who's living with schizophrenia, and her autistic brother. What Viona was talking about in that video is what mental health experts define as compassion fatigue. I am Bridget Ngana, and in the next 12 minutes, I share Viona's story in her own words.
Sometimes I don't even throw away the dead leaves because, you know, they are still a form of fertilizer. So you just do that and they fall down and they just fertilize that plant. Yeah.
I am Viona Wamoyo Waweru. I was born in 88. Mom has always been sick since her college days. So when I was born, I went to live with my grandma and my grandpa. But then she got stable for a while. Got married to someone in 91, my stepdad. Then her condition relapsed and it became continuous up and down because the problem with back then, nobody understood it. So she was in and out of hospital, in and out of the streets and all that. But I remained with my stepdad and our second born, who's not here. He was born in 96. And I think a doctor told me, but I could be wrong, because of the heavy medication, it affected him during the pregnancy. So when he was born, she was okay for a bit, took care of him, but then relapsed again, went back to the streets. So it's been on and off for years until I finished high school. I joined Kabarak University, but no fee, had to drop out. I worked for Red Cross in 2007 during post-election violence. Then in 2008, got the little cash that I had saved, moved to Nairobi. I lived in a hostel in Ngara. I worked at a cyber near Mfangano Street. So that was how I was doing. So I was looking for a scholarship or a sponsorship because I really wanted to go to campus. I got a B minus. So I was like, I really want to go to campus because at the back of my mind, I always knew they were somewhere. Unfortunately, mom was in the streets. My brother was moving from relative to relative, orphanage. It was hectic. So I managed to get a little bit of sponsorship, joined USIU to do international relations and minor in psychology, didn't work out, dropped out again. Then started just hustling, selling mtumba clothes, working for a bit, just selling artwork. I tried doing poetry and events. It was just trying a lot of things. Around 2012, somebody told me I could look for work in Dubai, but I could do a short course and go as a housekeeper for a hotel. So during that time, I got news that mom was really bad. So I made the choice just to stop that. And 2013, moved back to Nakuru and took her up. At the same time, I had met someone. He said he was okay with the whole situation. So we moved together. I took mom together in 2014, went, searched for my brother, got him. 2015, got pregnant, got my daughter in January of 2015. And we lived up until 2018. Things started getting hectic between us and in-laws and the whole concept of umebebesha mtoto wetu mzigo. And I understood it was a lot because by then he'd left the country. He was working in Kuwait. And it was friction, and then I think the distance and all that. 2019, things got so bad. 2020, we parted ways. So I've been on my own. I do remote work, but now because it's not as consistent as before, the workflow isn't as much. So I was waiting to get paid, and then I get medication and shop for us a bit of food and continue with the life the way it is, add for a bit for the school fees, add a bit to the house and things like that. But then I was told, the people who give us jobs sometimes can delay your salary. when we were told it's going to be delayed again, I remember trying to find someone who can just help me out, especially the medication, because I only had a dose for that day. That is the first day I called everyone and texted everyone. No, some didn't respond, some weren't in the position, and I understood and all that, but that is the day I felt, I've been feeling lonely for a long time, but that day I just felt cold and alone completely in my situation. I remember started panicking, if I'm not here, what is going to happen to them? Will anyone else ever embrace them the way I've embraced them? Because that's been like 11 years. So I just told God, I remember I'd been praying earlier that week, like, God, I need you. I'm frustrated, like, I'm so tired. I'm always working here at 3 a.m., 4 a.m. in the morning. I am so tired. I have poured everything I have. I have nothing left. That day I just broke down, and then I felt sorry, because I know other caregivers who post online. I just felt sorry for us. Nobody takes care of the carers at all. So since I was about my daughter's age, I have always known this is my responsibility. It's sad, but it's true. So I always know at the back of my mind, one day I'll have to take care of them. So at 24, it was me fulfilling something that I've always had in my heart, because they've always been at the back of my mind. But no one told me, this is going to be the hardest thing you ever do in your life. Because you never want to imagine that taking care of the people you love is hard. No, you want to believe, I can do this. But as I'm burning out, as I am tired, as I am, sometimes I just sit there and I don't know what I am doing, I am realizing it's not the easiest thing on earth. How do you parent your parent? How do you insist, no, you have to take your medication? You have to go for the injection. How? With my brother, it's the outbursts and the rage. Sometimes he just gets so angry and physical. As you saw, he broke the TV, broke the table. He can just get so mad and angry. And he's very big. He's almost 100 kgs. He almost one time twisted my hand. Yeah, as I was trying to calm him down. Hence why, part of why I feel so drained, because I've been handling that for years. Another trigger that day was feeling unaccomplished. I have done nothing with my life. My goal of going to SIU and doing international relations was so I can become like somebody who makes change in the world, policies and all that, but it's never going to happen. So, yeah.
The last decade seems to have swept over Viona, and she has no recollection of her enjoying her youth, but she's now on a journey of rediscovering herself.
Yes, I know what I like. I like books, I like dancing, I like the plants, but I won't lie to you that I know who I am. Hence, maybe the cry. I need to rediscover who I am, what I like in life, what I want to do in life. I would love to go back to school and do what I was doing, because now it aligns with whatever it is that I'm showing people that I'm doing. Because mental health is not only about having mental disorders, it is having everyday challenges. I have messages upon messages upon messages from every walk of life, old and young, talking about their mental health challenges. All these people are opening up. All these people have found a safe place to air what it is. So maybe this might be something. But somebody told me, I give myself the mask first, and when I'm okay, I can put the mask on another person. I was feeling like deleting that video, because I was like, okay, I am doing this, it's gone like that. Did I do the right thing? Because I did not expect that impact. I did not expect a 60-year-old man to call me and express how hard it was when they were younger, for their dad to be on a wheelchair in their rural home, and how they were mocked. I don't allow people to stigmatize them at all. Because why are you stigmatizing them? Tell me the reason. Who says you will be okay forever? It might not be mental health, but who knows about tomorrow? I'm not saying bad things bad to people, but nobody knows about, not even tomorrow, the next minute. So everyone can be vulnerable. It's not only mental, it can be physical, it can be chronic. So who gives you the right to think you're better than them? No, I don't allow that. There are things, even if I'm tired, no. He still takes his walks. The kids still come inside from the neighbors. They all know, and they know his special needs. Communities need to learn to support one another. Take care of the carers as well. Remember the caregivers who are there. They are literally molding them, the mud with their hands. Remember them as well. As you are checking what is happening to the people being given care, also take care of the caregivers. We need to be seen as well. We need to be heard. Everybody needs to be heard. Everybody needs to be seen. And we need to feel safe to express ourselves. I am a believer in affirmations. I'm a believer in manifestation. I'm a believer in calling out life as you want it. It might take a long time, but somebody told me, God comes at the right time. Ukifika mwisho yako, ndio Mungu anakuja. And I have seen that. If I can know 100% they are fine, I want to go somewhere and sleep for a week. I know people would say, oh, good, do treat yourself. I want to sleep for a week somewhere where my phone is off and just sleep. Yes.
Caregivers of patients with chronic ailments like Viona are an extended arm of Kenya's healthcare system. However, it is now emerging that their mental well-being is hardly looked into. But there is hope, as in the case of Viona, because other support groups have reached out to her, and she is possibly going to come out of her compassion fatigue. Bridget's Ghana, NTV Nakuru.